Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, so let me ask a question. We'll get back to the Lions here in like 5 minutes. We've done all Lions all day, if I may. Should Indiana make the playoffs? By the way, Rico and I just had this conversation off the air, so can I share it on?
Yeah.
Why do coaches still refuse math? Memphis, it's Maui Invitational. Okay, I know this is early, and I don't even care about college hoops this early in the year, but it's been a thing in the office. Birchie Kidd is a huge UConn guy. You're up three. You got about 10 seconds left in the game, and I understand a lot of people go, well, it's too early to foul. Is it, with the way that young people have grown up on Steph Curry, I feel like every scrub-a-dub right. can fire a 30-footer contested, you know, sitting on a beanbag.
Right.
Like, I'm not letting that shot go up. Right. I'm fouling.
Because when number 10 drove to the lane, there's my foul. Make sure the ball does not leave his hands.
That's
and
it.
And you get two shots. I'm going to tell the ref. I'm going to foul him. So yes. Make sure you blow the whistle.
Like, I'm not allowing that. So, sorry. I just, again, it coaches, is. Math.
Because
why?
Because if we just play good defense, we'll still win the game. It's like, you're up three. Well, what? And then David, I've had this conversation. What if they make it and then miss the second one on purpose and then they get the rebound and then we foul them on the rebound? I'm like, what you're asking for is the equivalent of not getting one but two onside kicks back to back. Can it happen? Yes. Is it probable? No.
It's just math. Now, again, I know what you're going to say. Well, Memphis isn't a great free throw shooting team, et cetera, et cetera. I have such an issue when we allow moon balls to go up.
Bro, I told you, between five to eight seconds left,
yeah,
foul. And if the right person touches it and he's like a 30% free throw shooter, immediately.
My real question was this, and then we'll do Lions at five again. I got into a war with Cookies on the pod. I don't think Indiana should be in this playoff. I wanted your guys' take. I'm going to back away from this. You and David and Kenny, should Indiana be in?
I'm going to say yes. Indiana should be in. They played their schedule. If other teams would have won games and made it in, you could say, okay, well, they are fraudulent. Okay, the playoffs will expose the fact that you are fraudulent, but they did win their games, and you're like, oh, well, you know, look at these other teams, and if they would have played this schedule, the one argument that I had this conversation with Cookies, and he brought up a point, and I'm like, I can't fight that. When all of these other teams, like the Alabamas, play bad teams, they lost. When Indiana played bad teams, they beat the bad teams.
Yeah, but who were the bad to see this? Okay. God, Cookie's argument is so pathetic. Oh, you played a bad team like Auburn, who's got like 44 star players, who's talented, who just beat A&M.
And I guess
SEC mid and bad dominate the Big Ten. The Big Ten's average is a football game like Rutgers in Illinois. That's not the same planet as what you face in the SEC. Hey, bearded wonder, want to step up and defend your conference? Your credibility's on the line.
Every time I've tried to bring this up, people have laughed at me because we're in Big Ten country. People go, oh, the Big Ten and the SEC, they're the same thing. No, they're not, man. What are we talking about here? You're exactly right when you say the SEC's mid and bad couldn't, you know, the Big Ten can't hold a candle to that.
That's my whole point. Like Cookie's big thing was, oh, Ole Miss isn't any good. Really? So you beat Georgia, you played who? Oh, well, they lost too, and you fill in the blank, and it's like, yeah, they went to the swamp. Florida's good now. Go ahead, put Florida in the Big Ten. Ready? Who can't Florida beat in the Big Ten? Well, they can't beat Oregon, and they can't beat Ohio State. Guess what? I'd pick them to beat everybody else in the Big Ten right now. The Big Ten is poop.
Mike, the only problem is, until we play those games like the Big Ten SEC crossover games and we get a gauge, I can only base it on the records.
Yeah, but the problem I have is Indiana had the 106th ranked strength of schedule. You had essentially 11 bye weeks. Do you know how hard it is to play in the SEC? Back to back to back, and you're like, oh, we're hosting Ole Miss. We're in Death Valley on a Saturday night. Now we're over at Kyle Field, and your break is Jordan-Hare Stadium against Auburn.
Right.
But we don't have that here.
No, Mike, but here's the thing, and I think I know what you're going to say. Hear me out. It wasn't Indiana's fault that Michigan was no good this year. It wasn't Indiana's fault that Michigan State was no good this year.
No, but it is Indiana's fault that Ryan Day put a baby in him. That was a joke of a game. They didn't have 100 yards of total offense until the four-minute mark of the fourth quarter. That was your one game, your one dance recital, and you bleeped yourself wearing white pants. I can't do it. They, you know what Indiana was? They were James Houston's pants on Saturday. I can't do it. You have one game. How can, right here, right now, neutral field, who wins, Ole Miss or Indiana? It's not even close. That's a 14-point game.
Can I answer the question?
I'm sorry. I get so revved up because I'm like Kenny. I get so angry, all these people dangling off of a cow's udder. Oh, the Big Ten, right, the Big Ten. The Big Ten's not good.
But it gets to a point where, okay, if that's the case, then just put 12 teams from the SEC in the championship game.
Yes.
Because it's like you can't just genuflect and say it doesn't count that you lost because you're in the SEC. You have to win these games.
No, what really needs to happen is you take the six best teams from the SEC and a couple good ones from the Big Ten. You go form your own league. Get out. Leave the rest of us alone.
This was the schedule before last week, obviously, was UMass for Georgia, so nothing crazy. But before that, it was Florida, followed by going to Ole Miss, followed by hosting Tennessee. I mean, these are really, really quality teams, right? Back to back.
Meanwhile, Cookies wants you to believe that number four Penn State is good. Cutscene. Minnesota? Put Minnesota on a field with any of the teams Kenny just mentioned. They'd launch Fleck out of a cannon. My problem is the top of the Big Ten, whether it was Michigan the last 3 years or this year with Oregon, Ohio, it's a two-team conference here. People want to dog out Alabama. Fine. Pull up Bama's schedule. Look at these losses. Like, we mock Oklahoma and Auburn like they're absolute trash. Put them on a field against Rutgers and Illinois. What's it look like?
No, I think for Alabama, it's the Vandy. Like, really? You lost to Vandy? That's your smart school in the conference. That's the one that's going to hurt them. Because in people's minds, that's like losing to Northwestern.
But what's the equivalent of a road trip to Norman in the Big Ten? You know what I'm saying? Like, who are these? Like, when you look at Iowa, when you look at Wisconsin.
I was going to say probably Iowa.
But they're no good. They're bad. See, this is where Cookies doesn't want to hear it because, again, and he was Clint Eastwood this morning on the podcast. The games have to matter. I go, Jim, do you actually watch these games or just yell about them? Turn on your Big Ten game with what you consider mediocrity and then turn on the SEC. There's
one or two bad teams in the SEC. Like Mississippi State is regrettable, okay? I would say Kentucky is bad. Who else is bad? You drop South Carolina in the Big Ten, they win 10 games.
Are you discounting the Big Ten a little bit? Just 10 games?
I watch the games. We do not have the quality of athlete. We don't have the depth of athlete. We do not have the depth of teams. The Big Ten middle class is poverty. Now, top of the pops with Oregon and Ohio State, I can't argue that. Penn State is a fraud. Here's what Penn State does. Play one or two big games a year, invariably get smoked in both of them, then get fat and happy on crap. You can't do that in the SEC. Think about the scheduling. Whoa, Indiana played the 109th rate schedule. How could you ever have a schedule like that in the SEC? You wouldn't. Too much quality. Right. Then Cookie's argument is, well the SEC, they should play a ninth game. They'd all lose to each other. And I'm like, well, you've just undone your whole argument. If by adding an extra conference game, you're baking in losses, you're telling me the SEC's really tough, which just, zippity-doo, undoes your last 10 minutes of yelling. Indiana shouldn't be in.
No.
You didn't play anybody. You know who Indiana is? They're like one of those goofball teams in March Madness.
See, I think Indiana would have, if Michigan was good, I think we would have had, okay, you played two good teams.
Totally.
But they didn't. That's why.
Look at the non-conference if who they play.
If they purposely went out and just scheduled all bad teams, I'm with you. But if you schedule these teams and they happen to be bad, I can't
my
fault
point,
you for
no,
that.
I know.
The non-conference, absolutely. You chose that path.
FIU and Charlotte and boobity-boo. I just, again, on the week-to-week in the Big Ten, who's Indiana's best win? It's Michigan. Think that over.
No, I would even say it's losing to Ohio State.
There you go. And when your best win's a loss, I can't put you in.
Because that game, it's funny. I saw that game before, Mike, this year. It's when Indiana came to MSU. MSU scored 10 points and then said, good night, we're leaving.
Sorry. I needed 5-minute discussion on that out of a 4-hour show. We can get back to the Lions because they are the big story of the day.
Yeah, but, yeah. I was actually going to listen to that later because Cookie said that you guys got into it.
Oh, he was out of his mind. I don't know what was going on. Maybe his wife's got him on some of those supplements something. Yeah, he was all bricked up. He was like Shannon Sharp entering the studio today. Okay. I'm like, what is your problem? He was screaming about the Big Ten. And I'm like, bro, you went to a safety school. You didn't even go to a Big Ten school. What is this pride you're showing here?
We had this conversation pre-Lions pregame show.
So he's been horned up about this for 24 hours.
Because he was like, well, Indiana. Because I was like, well, you know, Indiana's... The best thing that happened to Indiana was that Alabama and a lot of teams lost because they still get in. But I said, they're not going to be playing at home.
If Indiana played in the SEC and played an average schedule, they'd be a 6-6 team. Argue it.
I can't because...
Okay, so then that's where I need Jim to just stop.
No, because Mike, and I know what you're going to say, but yeah, this is true. If you flipped the schedules and you gave MSU that Indiana schedule...
We'd have 7 or 8 wins now.
They'd be a ranked team.
Right, so it's like... I'm not look.
So I understand what you're saying.
It's just hard for me to reward that, and much less get yelled at about it. But I wanted your guys' take. That's all. Look, I know they'll get in, but that's not the conversation I wanted to have.
I think they'll get in. I think they lost the right to play any game in Bloomington. You're going on the road, and you know, cross your fingers. But you will probably be that bad game, just like I think the Group of Five team will be that bad game.
Yeah, because Boise's not good. Nice survival out in Laredice. Come on. But hey, this is what y'all wanted. God bless. You enjoy it.
But here's the thing.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, it is fun, Mike, to see that right here, right now. I don't know who's in. I like this.
God bless. Lions talk resumes momentarily. If you have thoughts on that, please feel free. But we will continue to bring the Lions into the forefront. 97.1.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Clock, good to have you aboard. Odyssey.com Rewind, you missed anything? No updates today. Oh, well. So let's keep it moving. Rico, I have something for you, and it's going to require a little listening, but I think it's fascinating. And this is meant to show Lions fans where we've arrived. Look, I just want you to hear the things I'm going to read from you from an article today. And I want you to tell me what you value, don't value. Does this make you feel better or worse? I think it should make you feel invincible. Okay?
Okay.
So the headline, how the Lions went from perennial underdog to the sportsbook's worst enemy. ESPN research has scoured through every season they could back to 1970. The Lions have never, at any point of any season, ever been the Super Bowl favorite. This week, the Lions overtook the Chiefs as the Super Bowl favorite. Okay, so you're talking about a team that in the modern era of the NFL has the third worst winning percentage in football, only ahead of the Tampa Bay Bucs and the Jacksonville Jaguars. But this year, ESPN writes, more bets have been placed and more money wagered on the Lions to win the Super Bowl on any other team at any sportsbook in America. The betting public is so on the Lions, the books are scrambling to build point spreads to dissuade people. It's not working. Then there's a section of the article, and I'm telling you, they're writing about one of our listeners, the young guy from Ann Arbor. Remember the kid with the parlay? And he calls in? Okay. So, for instance, somebody put a $27 parlay, UConn to win it all, Panthers to win it all, Dodgers to win it all, Lions to win it all. They're going to be due $90,000 if the Lions win. Another guy did a $50 site credit. Celtics, Panthers, Dodgers, Lions. He's due $100,000. Caesars just took a $150,000 bet on the Lions to win the Super Bowl at plus 440. That's $660,000 payout. But wait, there's more. The head odds maker at MGM says, quote, they are our biggest overall loser every single week, close quote. 12 weeks into the season, more bets, more money on money lines, on point spreads than any other team. More bets on Super Bowl than any other team. The Lions and the Chiefs are separated in terms of bets and handle, says Adrian Horton, director of the North American Sports Trading for ESPN Bet. Given their longer price start the year, Detroit is our biggest liability. Even the Lions reaching the Super Bowl, Rico, will kill the sports books as they have attracted more money from bettors to win the NFC than the next seven teams combined.
Huh.
Okay?
See that. Yeah.
All right. So, basically, here's my question. All right? This is important. Guys, does that boost your confidence or does that get, is that kind of the boogeyman? No. See, to me, that should boost your confidence. That's not all people from Michigan doing that.
Right there.
You know what I mean? Come on now. I mean, we'd love to think that, but it's not the city of Detroit carrying the banner and moving markets. Mm-hmm. Those are people that don't care about your team, don't like your team or dislike your team. They like money. And sure, a lot of the fun stuff with the parlays. All right, Lions fans. Couple of $10, $50, even $100 bettors. Lions. If you think Lion fans are dropping $150,000, $200,000 bets, or syndicates are made up of holy Lions fans that are altering markets, you're crazy. So I ask you at 3:05 on Tuesday, November 26th, knowing the Detroit Football Lions are going to murder the sports book by winning the Super Bowl. More people have bet you to make the Super Bowl than the next seven teams combined. The point spreads can't catch up with you, which back Rico and I's topics regarding you being historically good. Boost your confidence, or does that give you the willies? 248-539-9797. Rico, begin.
It has to boost your confidence because I think, Mike, of everything that you said, the thing that has to boost your confidence, we joke about it every Friday, the Lions alt line when we do the picks, meaning we just can't take the regular line. We have to boost this thing up to make it interesting. That's what Vegas is doing. Too many people are betting on the Lions. Why? Because it's like death and taxes. They're going to cover not only, and so we got to push this thing out to balance the money, but you can't because the Lions will keep covering no matter where you put the point spread. That should boost, it should make you feel great about this team because even Las Vegas, like you said, this isn't local radio or local TV. Of course, you know, we're rooting for the Lions. This is Vegas who doesn't care about your team. They care about money, and they're afraid of your team because if your team wins the Super Bowl, that's going to be a big hurting on all of Las Vegas paying out all of those tickets. That should make you feel so confident.
All right, for the people who are nervous, here's maybe what you're thinking. The script writers will be out. Vegas will pick up the red phone, and they're going to screw you if they get the chance. Uh-oh. See, David just pointed at me. That's in the back of everybody's heads.
Because you're right. That's what people are going to think. At least that's what I thought.
And what do I always tell you? I never want to be on the side of the public. You want to be on the side of who the book needs to win the game. Because oddly enough, it feels like that happens more than not.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's a sad reality. The NFL didn't do itself favors. Remember the campaign they did last year in the preseason where all the top players sitting around a reading room reading the air quote script of the season and how things should go? And I'm like, why are you doing this? People already think that, you know, you guys do things to make sure certain teams win. I understand, David, how you feel. But I think that this team has become the Hollywood story. This team is the darling. And I think that this team has to have their coronation because, oh my goodness, this was a team that was left for dead and no one thought that they would ever win. And look at them. They just won the whole thing.
Well, hold on, though. I want to question your wording here because you're saying the darling. Well, if the public is loving you so much, you're not the darling anymore, right?
You are, because you're the underdog, because this is new. Like, nobody likes the Chiefs because the Chiefs have too many Super Bowl trophies. So nobody was liking the Patriots outside of Boston. Why? They kept winning so much. But when it's your first time, that's when you're like, yeah, that's an up-and-coming team. They're hungry. And it makes you seem smart because I picked the Lions before anybody else picked the Lions. So, yes, they are the darlings.
People, it's a movement. The Lions are moving markets. The Lions are the team. They are Vegas's enemy. Does it build your confidence or make you a little scared? If you want to read the whole piece, it's on ESPN.com. It's really interesting. But to me, I mean, it should build your confidence. It tells you that people that have no stake in this other than money believe in your team and back your team. And look, it is, I don't know another way to put it, to the best team of football. Like, it's just what it is. They're complete. There's no weaknesses. And then they just cut a guy who had a weakness. James Houston, released. Can't bleep yourself on national TV. 248-539-9797. We'll get more to people coming up momentarily. David, ticket text first. What do you got?
Oh, that terrifies me 100%. Like, I'm convinced Goff, Sewell, St. Brown, Demo are getting Tanya Harding the night before the NFC Championship game.
Jesus.
Yikes.
Can't say that. Good heavens.
Someone else says, drop in the bucket for Vegas. Go Lions. Not worried at all.
All right.
Man, the Lions being this big of a gambling liability tells me they aren't winning the Super Bowl. They will sway refs to get them out.
Oh, they're going to pick up the big red phone, according to that ticket texter.
Public loving you is a curse. Vegas isn't in the business of losing.
See?
Someone else says, or Sauna Ron says, NFL is legally classified as entertainment. they, quote unquote, won't allow that type of monetary loss. No brainer, not boosting the confidence I have. Two words, boys, bricked up.
Oh.
All right.
Might need that as a drop.
The Lions have effed people over 50 years. Just wait till all these people lose thousands because the Lions don't win. The ultimate F you from the Lions curse.
We'll get to the people momentarily. You are going to destroy Las Vegas if you win the Super Bowl. Does it build your confidence? Again, if you want to read the whole piece, ESPN.com. It's a good read. All right, David, you have, it is under hermetically sealed conditions. You have our Thanksgiving draft order. Let's set the ground rules. It's very simple. Once an item is taken, you cannot get cute and slightly alter it. Now, as we have discussed in the past, including the very controversial 2021 ruling of stuffing versus dressing, they are the same thing. Now, you can have an addendum, meaning box stuffing versus the real stuff. But once the real stuff is gone, you're only left with the boxed. It's the same for the potatoes we discussed. Now, we also, I will clarify, because you Midwesterners have this weird affinity for something called cheesy potatoes. That is different than mashed potatoes. And decidedly gross. But let's, what is the, John Denver is shaking his head over there. Is that popular in the West Virginia festivities?
Absolutely. One of my favorite dishes every year.
Why does that not shock me? All right, let's, what is the draft order? And it'll be a snake draft.
Yes.
Four rounds, time permitting. What is it, David?
Kenny.
Okay.
Mike.
Yep.
Me.
Yep.
And Rico.
Okay, Rico will get the turn. So, gentlemen, we have to be very careful. Rico, fittingly, gets the BOGO. David.
Okay.
Music. Hillbilly Jones to the stage, please. Let's go. Kenny.
First pick of the draft is some squirrel.
Graham Graham's pawpaw stew.
No, I'm going meat first because I don't think this is going to survive, and it's not turkey. I was thinking about fried chicken all day, all right? I was thinking about what I would rather have than turkey for Thanksgiving. Fried chicken, number one off the board, primarily because I don't trust it to go back and forth through two rounds of draft.
And let me tell you something. It's not a racial thing. It's a Southern thing. Fried chicken appears in the South on Thanksgiving. That's why they do it right in the South. What they get wrong with dental care, they get right with Thanksgiving options. We go to me. You know I ain't taking turkey, that fibrous, chlamydia-ridden bird. I am going to take real homemade stuffing.
Okay.
Slash dressing, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
Homemade. Don't be hitting me with that Costa stovetop box. David.
All right, so I didn't think I would get this because I thought that whoever was in front of me would take it. But I'm going to go with the homemade baked mac and cheese.
Oh! That's a power selection. And again, would you say a Southern selection?
Yes, for sure.
That's what I mean. Like a New Orleans Thanksgiving has these things. Now, Rico, you have the turn. You have acquired via trade. The last pick in the first and the first pick in the second round. Your selections, please.
Well, Mike, I'm going to go with a honey-baked ham.
Okay.
I'm going to follow that up with the Valenti, shout out to the white folks, the cheesy mashed potatoes.
The mascarpone mashed potato roasted garlic reset. I got you.
Yes.
People, it is. It's a life changer. It's different. All right, back to David. And notice. Notice my point is proven with every selection. Nobody actually likes Thanksgiving turkey. You eat it because you think you're supposed to. David.
Yes. Okay. I can go.
Is the Thanksgiving turkey the Aaron Rodgers 06 draft night draft pick?
It just sits there.
Still
it
in the green there. Room. Still with that disgusting thing hanging off of its neck.
Yeah.
Gobble, gobble.
Yeah. So I'll go with the, man, I could probably get this later. No, I'll go with it. I'm going with the yams.
And now, is that with the marshmallow?
No. That is a casserole.
Okay.
No.
All right. I had to ask. I'm not a yam guy. All right. You know, David, I am actually going to pick something similar. Now, this is a very specific rendition of this, but it is a a sweet potato casserole that my mom makes. It is a maple bourbon pecan.
Oh, you got me there.
And it's got and it's got a crumb topping like the top of a pie.
So yeah, it has that crust. Sounds delicious.
You can keep your turkey. I'll take the bourbon sweet potato mash.
I have a question regarding my next pick. Cheesy potatoes is off the board, of course.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, mascarpone mashed potatoes. Cheesy potato, the disgusting, cubed, often lukewarm thing served in the great state of Michigan, is still on the board.
Not for long. It's off the board now. And for my swing around, I'm going to get some ribs.
What?
Whoa.
That's right.
Because what?
Do you know what I want Thanksgiving to be? I want it to be options.
Wow. See, Kenny and I see eye to eye on this. I like that Kenny.
I'm getting ribs.
Right. Kenny is breaking social norms. I love it.
That way you can choose which type of meat you're looking for. It's the best.
Yes.
It's the way Thanksgiving should be. You shouldn't be pigeonholed into turkey.
No, you shouldn't be a prisoner of turkey. But here's what I want to do. This is probably a risk on my part, but I want to make sure that I ensure there's a protein on the table. And someday when I host Thanksgiving and it's not my parents, this will be the law. Prime rib. Who needs a filth-ridden STD bird when you can have luscious prime rib?
Okay.
I think I may want to eat at Kenny's right now.
Dude, it sounds pretty good, right?
That sounds great.
That sounds like a South Carolina Thanksgiving, the way he's putting that together. Southern Thanksgiving is where it's Thanksgiving. All right, over to David. And mind you, back in the green room, the turkey stands alone.
Correct. So Kenny had the right idea, going ribs and chicken. While I don't eat ribs, the having the choices there, which is, Mike, I'm glad you played that. Play that again, please. Because I am going with the seafood boil. That
what?
Gives me options of crab legs in there. I can go with the lobster tail in there.
Time out. Can I ask a question? Has anyone ever done a seafood boil for Thanksgiving?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
Okay, I'll allow it.
Yes.
I'm not here to argue. I was asking.
Yep.
That's such a power move by you. Like, that's a great tailgate move.
Correct.
But Thanksgiving.
It is definitely Louisiana. I've had it in Atlanta with family. So
as some people say, for the culture, with a K. No, power move by you. Now, that would be Rico's nightmare. Do you want to know what hell looks like to Rico besides sitting next to me? A seafood boil. Yeah. Rico would fake his own death before partaking in that. All right, Rico, so far, you've got the honey baked ham. You have the mascarpone mashed potato. You have a double selection here.
Wow. Kenny hit me with the ribs. You know what? I'm going to go with some dirty rice.
The hell is dirty rice?
Basically rice and beans mixed together.
Oh, delicious. It's like red beans and rice.
Yeah. They just call it dirty rice, but yeah.
Again, Southern, Louisiana-based. See what I mean? I'm telling you, Southerners do it right. All right, Rico, your second pick on the turn here, and the turkey stands alone.
And I'm going to do this because I'm going to go with the Hawaiian rolls.
Wow.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
Yeah. Honestly, they go with it. They go with everything.
Yes.
They do.
Like what?
And I didn't trust David or Kenny. So, no.
Man.
You're right, man, because I was going to take that next.
Damn. Now, David, you can still go dinner roll. The Hawaiian
Correct.
Roll is a completely separate category of
Correct.
Carbohydrate.
Correct. So what I'll do is...
By the way, the turkey stands alone. There's no one else in the green room. This tells you everything you need to know about this holiday. Hatchet Man, your selection.
The dressing is taken. All right, whatever. I love it. It's my favorite dessert. I go sweet potato pie.
Not deviled eggs?
They were on my list. Trust me, my list.
Sweet potato pie. As a free agent.
Sweet potato pie is better than pumpkin pie.
For sure.
It's truthful. Over to Kenny.
Wouldn't it be over to you?
Yes.
Oh, it is to me. I'm sorry. Guys, I apologize. Okay. So I have got real stuffing, not the Jim Costa box variety, bourbon sweet potato mash, prime rib. Fourth selection, I'm going to add, now I'm going to save my last one because nobody will take it. I'd like to go with a traditional real dinner roll. You make the dinner roll, hot dinner roll, butter, real dinner roll, little sea salt crust. Give me the dinner rolls. Kenny Cott, double selections to round out your table.
No, this is my last one.
You have fried chicken, cheesy potatoes,
and ribs. Yep, one more.
Oh, yeah, it's only four rounds.
So
go a fifth. Make two picks because I got one more thing I got to put on the table. Go
ahead. All right, well, since I get two, wrap it around. I'm doing the
possum stew.
I'm doing box stuffing because I love box stuffing. I don't care what anybody says. It's terrific.
God, I knew you were one of those.
But we have the stuffing. We have the ribs. We have the cheesy potato. We have the chicken. We're going to round it off with some dessert. Give me that pumpkin pie.
Of course.
Ugh. Disgusting. All right, my last selection. I'm allowed to make this. It's not pasta, even though I know you thought I knew what I was going to. No. I got to put a veggie on the table. A real one. New York classic. We call them Utica greens. Same spelling as Utica, Michigan. But it's hot cherry peppers, prosciutto, cheese, breadcrumbs, escarole, olive oil, garlic. Mm. Delicious, wondrous side dish. The Utica greens.
Wow, that's hilarious.
Why? You were going to go collards?
I am going collards. Can I still do that?
100%.
Okay,
that's distinctly different.
Right.
Distinctly different.
I was making sure. All right.
And mine has a pork product in there, so you wouldn't eat them.
No, I could put turkey leg in there.
God, just eat the
turkey
pork.
Turkey leg.
Jesus, yes. David, eat the pork. What
My
is your problem?
My family hates me.
Next, Rico Beard.
The one thing that my sister learned from my mother, pound cake. Give me the pound cake.
Great choice. I'll be making one tonight.
What do you put on it? It's a brick.
If you make it right, it's not.
David, that's different, though, than what you're doing tonight.
All right. Whoa.
Okay.
Pound cake, huh? Sounds like David's honeymoon. All right, let's... If I may, here are the draft classes for the 2024 annual Thanksgiving draft. Kenny Cott with a New Orleans Thanksgiving. We have fried chicken, cheesy potatoes, ribs, box stuffing, pumpkin pie. I have selected real stuffing, bourbon sweet potato mash, prime rib, dinner rolls, Utica greens. David, mac and cheese, yams, no marshmallows, seafood boil, sweet potato pie, collard greens. And Rico Beard, the honey baked ham, the Italian mascarpone mashed potatoes, dirty rice, sweet Hawaiian rolls, and the old shout out to David's honeymoon, pound cake. Who had the best draft class? We'll go to the ticket text next. 97.1.